Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back to Believe in Softball. I'm your host, Jenna Becerra, and Women's History Month continues, and we continue to elevate women like we do every month. So however you got here today, whether it was an audio podcast platform like Apple, Spotify, etc., or watching on YouTube, thank you. Subscribe and rate the show wherever you get your pods. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Believe in Softball. That's B-L-E-A-V. And of course, there's merch. Click the link in our bio on either of those pages or go to shop.believe.com to purchase. 3 softball shirts available, covering our bases, safer out, and catch you soon. All right, let's go through today's batting order. First, we'll be covering our bases. I'll share some updates and call-outs from around the softball world. Then we'll head into today's interview with the Kate Drohan. She's an icon, a legend, a purple cow. And that'll make sense when you hear our conversation. Then we'll end things with the foul tip of the week, where we share tips to help us get better. All right, let's go. Covering our bases. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. And the best opportunity with Rip It Sports also starts here. You know, again, still rocking my Ringer Turfs. Did I mention my new backpack as well for my gear? And they're awesome. And so is their mission, which is to elevate female athletic performance. They get it. Women and girls deserve gear specifically tailored to our unique needs. Gear that fits, gear that performs well, and gear that meets our standards. So, Rip It is offering an exclusive 15% discount. Just use the code JENNA15 when you shop at ripit.com. That's J-E-N-N-A 1-5. This is your chance to experience the same quality gear that helps so many women and girls excel. A lot of quality softball going on right now, too. I mean, a lot to really dig into, but just to recap some of the big stuff that I did this past weekend, really, is got to call a midweek game, Pacific visiting at Stanford, and it got me thinking about just all the people that have built up this softball community that we love. One of them is the head coach of Pacific, Brian Colsey. If you don't know him, you're missing out. It's his 32nd season at Pacific. He's coached USA softball. He has served NCAA softball, and he's been involved with the NFCA all in various ways. And his coaching tree is expansive. So UW's Heather Tarr was an assistant at Pacific at one point, over 800 wins at UW now. UCF's head coach, Sydney Ball Malone. Cindy was actually a Hall of Fame player and eventually an assistant at Pacific and at UCF. They hosted regionals, went to Supers a couple years ago. Laura Severson, my assistant coach at Stanford my sophomore year, was an assistant there before. And the Santa Clara head coach, Gina Corbinato, was an All-American who played for him. And her and Cindy both actually are the only ones who have had their numbers retired there. So the list just goes on. And even I was recruited by him and Laura Severson, actually. After her stint at Pacific, she ended up going to Stanford to be on staff at her alma mater too. But she and him also recruited me. And I think I will hold one of the memories pretty dearly for a long time. You know, I went on an unofficial visit to both Pacific and Stanford, just hitting up Stockton and Palo Alto at the same time. And I went to Stockton first, then I went to Palo Alto, and they actually played each other at Stanford. So I got to see all of that unfold all at the same time. And I sat right behind home plate to be neutral at the time in the middle before I committed. But just to give a sense of what this man has done for this sport. And there are many like him too that I think are, you know, flying under the radar that I want to shine a light on. Another thing that was cool is calling a game between LMU and Stanford in Palo Alto. They actually played twice, but on International Women's Day, Tariah Flowers and Jessica Allister were the head coaches going against each other. And that was just awesome. You know, I was also recruited by LMU, actually, but this was before Tariah's time. But who doesn't know her, right? Two-time Olympian, two-time world champion with USA, UCLA Hall of Fame, but also national champion and the Pac-12 All-Century team. Like, the list just continues. Coach Alistair, as we know, an All-American, two Women's College World Series as a player, top 10 in multiple program records. She played pro before coaching. Like, these are two women that have made such an impact on and off the field, and they played against each other back in the Pac-10 days, and then here they are now. So one thing I appreciate in doing what I do is, you know, the softball, of course, we love it, but it's also those kind of stories. Something that's sticking out to me right now, too, just across the country, is the investment that we're seeing in women's sports. But a few specific things just made my heart happy in softball. And really, it was like Monday through Wednesday of this week, bam, all in a row. One is the new Northwestern Stadium that was announced. You know, there's different ways to invest. And this is, hey, let's invest using literally monetary resources into our facilities. And it's about time. It's the 49th season of Northwestern softball, but also wonderful timing. Couldn't be better for us today with our guest. But it's a $5 million donation that came in. It's going to be Kip and Sarah Kirkpatrick Stadium. Kip was a men's basketball alum at Northwestern. And don't worry, the legend, Sharon Drysdale, it'll still be Sharon Drysdale Field. And we're going to talk to Kate actually about her today too. But construction starts in 2025. It'll be ready in 2026. There's going to be more seating and sort of tailgate areas for an elevated fan experience, a clubhouse with everything necessary for the players and have it connected to the dugout. There's going to be more ADA accessibility, which is huge. And then for all the media people like me, an expanded press box, which we always appreciate. And you can actually help donate too for more enhancements if you go to Northwestern Softball's website and check it out, see how you can help. But another type of investment that we saw was Texas playing at Louisiana State, LSU. The effort and the coverage that went into this, number two playing number three on TV, Tuesday at 11 a.m. Central Time, 11 a.m. local time. It was a packed house at Tiger Park in Baton Rouge. And I think it was so cool what Beth Tarina and company did, because they made it a field trip day. So there were tons of little second graders attending, including Beth's daughter, Tenley, as well. And they were all able to see it live in person on a school day. And the amount of horns down that I saw in the stands was pretty hysterical. You know, the theme of the team this year is, they're saying, deal us in. That's LSU softball's, that's what they're thinking about. You know, like a card game, deal us in, we want in. And it felt like the fans, including the second graders, were like, yeah, deal us into this. We are all about this experience. And I think a friend of the show, former guest Amanda Scarborough, made a great point by saying, it's not even just this one event, right? It's the effect that this could have months and years beyond this on little girls just because they were there. And oh, by the way, they're also winning. Like, LSU is still the only team that's undefeated going into the Ole Miss series this weekend in the SEC. But another cool thing actually, partly related to the SEC, is number 8 Tennessee actually went to play at Howard in DC. So this is the type of investment where it's like your time and just your presence showing up, right? It's the first time that Torrey Tyson, but just the Bison in general, hosted a nationally ranked team. So we know Torrey's a friend of the show, been on here multiple times, and she coordinated with Tennessee head coach Karen Weekly. The teams had dinner together. They visited multiple Black-owned businesses. They had a tour of the Howard campus and local museums and other areas really too within DC. And it was years in the making that they talked about doing this. And it's just a big move for HBCUs. And actually we go behind the scenes in this with D1 softball. There's a feature article that was written by another former guest of the show, Rhiannon Potke, on d1softball.com. And we had a social media takeover and have some content coming for you too. So definitely check that out to see what's going on. But all of these things happened on a weekday. These are all big, and they all happened on a weekday in like 72 hours-ish, right? So softball is just doing Women's History Month right. Speaking of D1 softball too, a new podcast episode came out this week. Myself and my co-host Amanda Lorenz, we interview UCLA pitcher Taylor Tinsley after their hot start to Pac-12 play. Check it out. It's on the D1 softball YouTube channel. But also, some more exciting news is that we officially announced this week that the In the Circle podcast is now under the D1 softball umbrella. Y'all know the co-hosts. They're friends of the show and past guests too, Eric Lopez and Victor Anderson, who are also both college softball broadcasters as well. And this is the longest running softball podcast in existence. For those who really know, like, I've been a guest multiple times and it's always so fun. They have over 800 episodes and they've just always been supportive also of the Believers. So subscribe, give them a follow while you're at it. And then coming up, from podcasts to broadcasts. So my Pac-12 network slate starts this year with the big series, number 9 Stanford at number 17 Cal. So many reasons that this is interesting. Of course, the rivalry, but also it's the best that these two programs have been in years, and it's at the same time. Jessica Allister hit 200 wins at Stanford earlier this season. They're in the top 10. They went to the World Series last year. Chelsea Spencer hit 100 wins this season at Cal, and they're in the top 20, and they made the postseason last year for the first time in years. Plus, you know, of course, they're alma mater, all Americans who played against each other back in the day and now. So also reminded me of Taraya and Allister as well. But this is what they live for, and it's what we live for, honestly. We could go on, but just tune in this weekend to see that story play out. I'm actually going to be in Berkeley 5 times in a week. I don't know if they allow Stanford alums to do that, but you know, I have the Stanford Cal series, then a midweek Sac State is actually going to play at Cal, and then Arizona will be at Cal next Friday, and then I'm coming back to Palo Alto for the Utah Stanford series Saturday and Sunday. So, lots going on, lots of wonderful softball and wonderful people elevating the game, and I think, you know, let's back the pack while it's still intact, because it has done and is doing so much for our game. And someone else who has done and is still doing a ton for the game is today's guest. So let's head into the interview. She is the head coach of Northwestern softball for over 2 decades, Wildcats wins leader, 5-time Big Ten Coach of the Year, former president of the NFCA, and Providence alum, Kate Drohan. Coach, I'm very excited about this. So thank you again for joining.
Thank you, Jen. I appreciate you having me on.
Honestly, not everyone will know this till this comes out, but we are recording this on International Women's Day during Women's History Month. And I can't think of a better person to talk to on a day like this. So again, I just want to say thank you.
I appreciate that. And, you know, I've been really fortunate to be surrounded by some really talented, really incredible women for my career. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's been fun to watch, let alone, I'm sure, be a part of it. And actually, I interviewed one of your former players, Jordan Rudd, last year on the show. And I talked to her, too, about one of the women in particular that has surrounded you for a long time, which is your twin sister, Carol. And I asked her, I was like, does it throw you off ever that they're twins? You know, like, and she said, no, they could not be more different. So I want to get your take on that.
Well, it's interesting. When we start to recruit young players, you know, they're always trying to figure you out and trying to understand the difference between us and really how we both work within the program, our personalities. And then, you know, a week or two into it, they're like, oh my gosh, like you guys are so different. And I think that's what's really made it work for the last 23 years, you know. When I was first hired and I was a head coach, I went into the athletic director's office, Rick Taylor, and I said, okay, I want to hire my twin sister as an assistant coach. They're like, absolutely not. Like, we do not need two of you. They're like, this is the worst idea ever. And they tried to talk me out of it for about 2 months. And then finally we came to an agreement like, hey, let's try it out for a year. We'll reconvene after a year. We'll decide if this is the right move or not. And, you know, after she was on campus for a few weeks, he said as well, he's like, this is going to work out great. She's nothing like you, you know? So, it just works. And I'm really happy to hear like players like Jordan Rudd, who have had such an impact on our program and such an impact on us as people. You know, we value those relationships and really how we can really complement her experience here.
And she had nothing but great things to say. I honestly, it would take too long to list them all out, what she was saying during our conversation. But how would you describe what the differences are, like generally, personality-wise, between you and Carol?
Well, I think it starts with, you know, what we're good at around the game. She is an incredible offensive mind, and she relates and connects really well with the players. And you know, I mean, hitting is tough, and it's tough mentally. And, you know, she just does such a great job of supporting them, of challenging them, and making great adjustments with their swing and with their approach. So we're really lucky to have her, and she's done some great work. And you know, I would say I'm more about our philosophy, about our strategy, about our prep, our game plan. So I'm a little bit more macro. She's more micro. And again, our personalities are really, really different. She's a lot more outgoing, and I'm not afraid to admit that she's a lot more fun. So it works.
Well, hey, I mean, you're both owning it then, which is fun. Yep. Actually, I wanted to see if what you would say would match up with kind of what Jordan said. And she did say that Carol's kind of, she's really fun, but that she also thinks of 1,000 different things for you, like as a hitter, for example, to find what clicks for you. And she said, you really are direct and keep them in line. And I asked her, I was like, do you know who's older? And she said, Kate. And I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Carol's really creative. You know, she'll throw anything. She'll try anything. She'll throw anything against the wall to see what sticks. She has some non-negotiables when it comes to our offense, but is very much in tune with what each athlete brings in terms of their own physical strengths, and really helps them develop the approach that works best for them physically and mentally. So it's fun. And it's fun when we can get players like Jordan Rudd who will experiment and also who are really strong-minded as well. You know, there are lots of times where Jordan would say like, yeah, that doesn't feel right. That doesn't work for me. Can you say it a different way? Or can we do it a different way? Mm-hmm. And when you have that kind of ownership of your swing and that kind of like mature relationships, that's when growth really happens. So I'll say this to anyone who listened, but we're really, really lucky to have Jordan through our program for sure.
Oh yeah. She's still fun to watch even, you know?
Yeah.
And that's,
I am not looking forward to playing her like that. We were actually talking about it yesterday with a couple of the players and I'm just like, oh, you guys know I'm going to be a little extra when we play Purdue. They're like, yeah, yeah, we know. So that'll be tough, you know? And they're just like, are we going to change our signs? I'm like, don't worry about it. We'll be okay. Yeah. You know?
That's one of my favorite things though, because when you see an alum move on to and then coach somewhere else, they're still so competitive that it's like, obviously she's like bleeds purple, right? But when she plays you, I'm sure she's going to be a little bit extra too, because that's just how it is.
Oh, it gets goofy, but you know, I think she's doing great work there. And I am not at all surprised. She has such a great mind for the game and a great work ethic too. And I think that's what really separates young coaches today, is like who's really willing to put the time in and really do the work.
Mm, that's a very good point. Very good point. Well, that was the thing too, is because you and Carol have been at Northwestern for so long. It's been fun to watch. I feel like you're synonymous with Northwestern softball at this point. And my mom actually used to love seeing you coaching third base, you know, Carol coaching first base at the same time. It was like one of her favorite things, because during the time when I was coming up through high school, especially like you guys were going to the World Series. It was a really, really good stretch and it was really fun to watch you in particular. But do you ever get sick of each other?
Yes. Yes. All right. I don't even have to think about that. And I'm sure she would have the same answer, right? We're sisters. We spend every day together. You know, we're really lucky to be on this journey together. But there are also moments where like, hey, I need a minute, you know, or what you're doing right now is driving me crazy. But I think because we're able to just say that and just be really honest with each other, it's made it so fun. I'll tell you a story. The first year we were at the World Series, this was back in, what year was it? 06, right? So we're on those backfields taking BP, warming up, and we're opening against Alabama. And one of the producers from ESPN comes over and says, hey, can you and your sister like wear a different outfit or something so we know who's who? I was like, what? I thought that was awesome. But that was really fun. We were both on the field. You know, the staffs were smaller then, and Carol has since moved to the dugout to work with our offense a little bit. But that was a lot of fun. That was good.
I bet the family is just so proud to see stuff like that, you know, but they're used to it also.
We have a lot of fun with it. We have two older brothers, you know, that beat us up as kids and we're you know, just kept throwing the ball at us until we learned how to catch it. But they're big fans and they're really great. They're very supportive.
I just love like the family dynamic stuff too, because obviously, you know, that's one of your first teams in your life. And so some of that stuff translates over. But I did see too, loved the team's Halloween costumes this past fall. So creative. And I saw that you and Carol were thing one and thing two. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
How do you decide who's one and who's two?
I think it's just sort of a given, and Carol will just be like, yeah, with an eye roll, you know, it's just, I don't know. But I love Halloween with our team. It's, you know, it hits right as winter's kind of starting to come into Evanston, and it's a fun way for us to just kind of liven things up. Our team this year especially has a great sense of humor, so they've been a lot of fun.
I've got to see you play in person too this season already, actually, in Clearwater and at Mary Nutter, and I can see that. Like, it seems like they have fun with the game, which is really important. Easy for us to forget sometimes.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's especially when you're traveling all over the country, and you know, we have 9 newcomers on our team. Yeah. So just gelling and learning each other and appreciating each other. You know, and we've lost some tough, close ball games, and just for our team to be able to kind of stay the course here, it's been awesome.
Very true. 9 new faces, and you graduated, I think it was 10 players in 2023, and people like a Jordan Rudd, a Danielle Williams, you know, some people who were really key parts to the program, obviously. Is it interesting to sometimes, in that sense, you're sort of starting over with a new cycle of talent, but you're also still at Northwestern. So there's like a lot of familiarity, but you're also starting over with something new at the same time.
Well, something I learned a long time ago, and Drysdale actually talked about this all the time as well. You know, each year is like its own unique journey, right? And even when someone might be start as a freshman, start as a sophomore, their junior year is going to be a little bit different than their sophomore year. Mm-hmm. They're growing as women, they're evolving, and the chemistry is different. So I try to really look at each year as a standalone year. Obviously, the transition from last year to this year, just with new people learning our system or learning new roles or having more responsibility, you know, that's an adjustment for sure. But I'll tell you, I adore this group. Like I'm having so much fun with them, and you know, I'm excited to see my practice today, you know? So that's really, I think, what it's all about.
Very true. And it's interesting too, to bring in new people in the sense that they're not all just freshmen, right? Sometimes you have the transfers that come in. And I was working with D1 softball at Mary Nutter. We got to chat with Ashley Miller, for example, after one of the games, and she was great. I was very impressed by her confidence and her composure. And I think I read, did you catch her first bullpen when she was in Evanston?
Yes. Yes. So we have a lot of pitchers on our staff. You know, and speaking directly about Ashley Miller, her maturity off the field, her maturity on the field, it's been such a fun transition to incorporate her into our program. Really seamless. And it's been fun to take the field with her for sure. But on day one, you know, she's got into Kellogg, which is our business school. So she's doing really fun work there. But day one, we had our bullpen set up, and we're trying to figure out who's going to catch our 7 pitchers. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I catch all the time. I like it. It's, I won't say all the time, but when I'm needed, I catch. So I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's have a little fun. And she's just like, what is going on here? Is this, you know, is this really how my day one is going to go? But she's got good action on the ball, and great off speed. And it was a lot of fun to just kind of get to know her so quickly back there.
I just love seeing a hands-on coach when it makes sense too. Like, it's not forced, right? It's just like you said, when you're needed. I think that's a really good, you know, trait to have.
It's fun. Whatever it takes, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what we tell the players, right? So yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
But you mentioned Drysdale too, and you know, what a legend. And you obviously were an assistant under her for several years too. The field's named after her, right? But is it interesting, or have you thought about the fact that she was there for, I think, 23 years? You're now there for as a head coach as long as she was. Have you processed that?
No, it's gone by so fast, you know. And the thing with Drysy, when I worked for her, and now as she continues to just be such a great person in our program, she's so steady for our team. She shows up all the time. The team loves talking to her about the history of the game, the history of Northwestern. But she's just been so generous. She was, when I was her assistant here, she gave me so much leeway to explore my own coaching voice and to figure it out on my own and to make mistakes, that it really helped me grow as a coach and kind of really identify my personality as a coach and build that. And she continues to do that now. In fact, she called me two nights ago because she had an idea about one of our pitchers, you know, and she's like, I really think like these words will work better than these words, you know, and when you have someone like that with her knowledge of the game and she just wants to see our women do well, it's so incredible. And so I don't reflect too much about number of years, wins, all that stuff. It's just like, I still feel like we're doing this together. So that's what's been so cool.
That's true investment. Like you said, generosity, but not just, it's generosity comes in a lot of different ways. Time, you know, like engagement, all of those things too. That's really good to hear, especially, you know, just like woman to woman, head coach to head coach in that regard.
Yeah. She's coming. We're calling it the Midwest tour. She's going to catch us in Nebraska, then come to Evanston. And then I think hit Iowa for the Big Ten tournament. So now that I've said it out loud here, she's got to do it. But we're excited to see her for a couple of weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Now it's locked in. She can't, you know,
back out.
Yeah. No getting out of it at this point. But you also, so we're talking about your, you know, 23 years and all this, your contract extension recently, which congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. Really big deal. I think what stands out to me too is you just continue to choose Northwestern every time. Why do you do that?
Well, I believe in this place. And I think that there are very few environments in the country that can really provide, you know, a very specific learning environment where you can major in whatever you want, study whatever you want, feel really supported on that path, and also be connected with a network that's going to keep giving for the next 10, 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. And also come to a place where we're really committed to high level development. You know, that's the thing about our staff. Like we teach. It's all about development. It's all about how can we get a little bit better today? And also work to win at the highest level. You know, so it's like, I think the Big Ten conference is in a really healthy place. I love where Northwestern is located. It's easy to get home to see our family and it's easy to go anywhere in the country to recruit. So I love the urban feel of Chicago and yet this college town of Evanston, there are just so many things that line up for us as a program that really, really go hand in hand with how we structure our system within our program. So that's been really fun. And then the second piece is I love raising my daughter here, you know, that it's, she's got a great community. So there are some, I think things that you think about once you get to be my age that are non-negotiables as well. So I'm just really fortunate that we continue to attract really great student athletes and we have an awesome staff. And Michelle Gascoigne and Tony Smith, you know, they've started their family here and they're doing great. So it's just been a lot of fun for us.
I've heard that Michelle's, I think her daughter has been a flower girl at multiple weddings for Northwestern grads. Yeah.
Yeah, Jordan Rudd had everybody in there. Skylar was in there. That's Michelle and Tony's daughter. And then Ellis was a junior bridesmaid. So you just kind of get the feel of like, this is not a 4-year decision. This is like, okay, you're stuck with us for life kind of deal, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jordan talked about that a little bit too. And it actually really clicked for me because as someone who was coming from Stanford, you just hit on athletics, academics, community, like, and the network that lasts for the rest of your life, like all of those things very much resonate with me. And I've always looked at Northwestern as almost like a partner in crime, I guess, in that regard. So that I think I can't overstate what you just said too. It's a lifetime decision, right? Not a 4-year decision. And that is exactly what it's all about.
Yeah. And you know, it's when we as coaches, you get 4 years to do this, right? It's like, we work really hard to deliver on those recruiting promises and just provide the very best experience and environment that we can. You know, and if you can focus on that, you can't help but win some ball games along the way.
Yeah. Well, the culture that comes out of it, I always love I said it earlier, I used to see you guys at the Women's College World Series, even before I went to college and then even in recent years too. And it's always that pocket of purple. You know, and I'll see like the Tammy Williams, like you see the red hair in there in the mix too. And a lot of the awesome alums like that, I think speaks a lot to what you've all built.
Yeah. And really that's about them. And that's about their relationship with each other too. But they're a lot of fun. It's everywhere we've been this year, we've had at least a half dozen alums and their families. So it's a lot of fun. It's a party, you know, it's a good time.
Yeah. It seems like a good time. Like, it seems like it's good to be, from the Northwestern program. It really does, like, from the outside. I also saw that you were awarded with a Passion for the Game Award in 2023. I think it was the Chicago Scouts Association. I think that's so cool for multiple reasons, but one of them being you've been in the game for so long, but your passion clearly still stands out. Like, you still got it.
Well, I like to think so, but someone asked me the other day, and you know, I'm just starting to get asked this more often. It's just like, you still like it, huh? You're still doing this. You know, someone might not see me after, oh, you're still there, huh? And I'm just like, the thing that people don't realize is every day is different.
Yeah.
You know, there's never been a repeat day in my 23 years here. Every day is literally an adventure. So it's like, what's there to get sick of, right? And as long as you've got the energy to kind of match that every day and to say, okay, how are we gonna solve this problem, or what can we do about that, or you know, it's a lot of fun. So and again, it's like each year we get a new group of women coming through, and they add the energy, they reinvigorate it and inspire our process even more. So we're really lucky to be at a place that attracts some really cool people.
Well, and if that's the place you choose, and you know, like, deep down, like, this is where you want to be, like, obviously that's going to help. And I actually saw something in preparing for this conversation with you that I don't think I realized, which is that Northwestern was the first private school in NCAA history to reach the Women's College World Series semifinals in back-to-back years. This was in 2006-07. That's an interesting fact to me. I didn't realize that. But the private school piece, like, that touches a little bit on, like, some of the academic things you mentioned, and that's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know that either until that stat came out. You know, and this is the cool thing about Sharon Drysdale, and you think about players like Lisa Ishikawa and Ndidi and Chinazo, Opia. You know, they put Northwestern on the map in the 80s. So it was like a normal thing to see this small private school from Chicago at the World Series. You know, it was like, oh yeah, it's a solid program. They can get there. So when that stat actually like was like read on paper, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And that's, I think, part of the unique experience that we can provide here. But it's about believing, right? It doesn't matter if we practice inside or outside, we're going to work to get you better. But it's about women who step on the field, who are courageous, believe in themselves, and every year work for that goal. So, yeah, we're proud of this place, but you know, again, it's so funny to do this interview right now, like right in the first week of March. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we're so squarely on, like, okay, what do we need to do today? You know? So it's fun to reflect a little bit, but it's like, okay, how can we get better at this little thing today at practice? You know, I think as long as we stay focused on that, those stats will work themselves out, you know?
Right. It's interesting with our sport too. There's so many numbers and stats and things that go into it, but you just can't get lost in that, because then you're really like spiraling and it just gets out of control. So there's more stats than probably any other sport to look at, and more numbers and things like that, but we try to ignore it as much as possible.
Yeah, it's fun. That's the thing that I think has grown about our game a lot, is the analytics piece, right? We have so much more access to that information, both in how we're building scouts and what we know about our own team, about these numbers, right? And it's so helpful and it's so useful to develop your team. And you have to remind yourself to just, okay, how are we playing? What's the feel? What's the energy? What's your gut say? Who's going to get it done today? You know, so there's a constant balance to kind of to keep seeing both sides of the coin.
Mm, that's right. And you said it too, that you're, you know, practicing inside sometimes or outside, doesn't really matter. But in this point in the season too, you guys travel a lot. That's something that I realized more as I've been covering the sport more and more, is coming from areas of the country like Chicago and some of these Big Ten teams, you're on the road for pretty much the whole preseason or most of it, just with weather and things. That seems hard, but also like a bonding experience at the same time.
Yeah, there are definitely moments where you're like, man, this is tough, right? I'll say it again though, being in Chicago, it's pretty easy to get everywhere where you need to go. But there's always some surprise that happens. but I think to your point, I think there's real value in getting the team together, getting them on the road, having them deal with some adversity, dealing with some different challenges, or maybe just a schedule that's not really buttoned up. You know, we got, okay, what we had, like, so for example, Sunday morning of Palm Springs, our bus had a flat tire, right? We're about to load up the bus had a flat tire, right? So we got another bus on the way. Great. LMU is going to let us borrow their bus to get us to the field. That bus takes a little bit longer. Now we're at a point, I'm like, okay, we got to get the pitcher and the catcher to the field. Mm-hmm. Like, someone call their parents, get the pitcher and the catcher to the field. So it's like, we're on plan C here, right? And we show and go. Like, there's no BP, no warm-up. Like, we throw around a little bit, do some agilities, and we play. And we ended up playing a really good – I had a well-played game. So it's like, those are the moments you lean on in May when things start to get a little dicey or you got to dig deep. So I definitely think there's a skill set that's built with the amount of travel that we have to do. But man, are we looking forward to playing at home?
I bet. I mean, there's nothing like playing at home.
Yeah, and our team loves our field. Like, we just love our environment. We love our fans, so we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't wait for that for you, because that's, again, the home opener. There's just nothing like a home opener feeling, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you said it earlier, which is whatever it takes, right? So even hearing about some of the behind the scenes stuff, because that's the thing. I think it's easy for us to forget, like, these are student athletes. Everyone, they're all people, including the coaching staff, right? Even the umpires, as much as we get frustrated with maybe some of the calls and things like that, but everyone is dealing with different things, and you do have to make adjustments, like, off the field, and it does translate sometimes. And I can see that obviously with your team.
Yeah. What's been so fun for me, from my perspective, that's shifted a little, is, like, so I have a 10-year-old daughter, her name is Ella. She's in the fourth grade. Right. And so it has become so clear to me how important these skill sets really are in terms of confidence, in terms of, dealing with failure. You know, these are things that, like, as a 10-year-old, we're talking about and we're trying to teach her, but sports across the board, it's so valuable. Right. And the thing that we say inside our program all the time is, okay, this is the game, play the game in front of you. You know, this is the game that we have to win today. Oh, it's going to be this kind of game. Okay. You know, we might have to score 12 today to win. All right, got it. Like, we shift and we understand what the game needs. The game asks of us. So it's been fun to see when players really embrace that. They don't get mad at it. They don't get frustrated. And they're just like, okay, got it. They shift and they have good focus. So I think I brought Ellis to Auburn last weekend, and she was around the team, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to see her with the team now. And she just pretty much disappears in the back of the bus. And I'm like, okay, what's happening back there? You know, but the team is great with her.
Those are the things that I think kind of matter the most. I mean, anytime someone's like, hey, what do you miss? Do you miss it? Like, what do you miss about it? I'm like, I don't really miss, you know, like, pulling the tarp on the field when it's raining, but I do miss things like riding the bus with your teammates, the locker room, even, like, traveling together and the stories and just, like, the fun that you have together. Like, those are the pieces that make it special.
Yep. No doubt.
Yeah. But something else that I think is really special is in the Big Ten specifically this year, all women head coaches. You've obviously been there for a long time. There's been Rhonda Ravel. There was, you know, Carol Hutchins and now Bonnie Thole. There have been a lot of women there for a really long time building the history, but now it's across 14 programs, all of you. That's a big deal. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. It's cool. And we're about to have three more join in too, right?
Yep.
So that's neat too. What I feel about that specifically is I love it when someone like Jordan Rudd, right, who's had a great playing career, can stay in the game and continue to coach and teach the game, continue to be a role model for now those Purdue players. Yeah. You know, that's where I think it's really cool and impactful. So as often as we can create those moments and those environments, I love it.
Yeah. I personally have always felt like, or for years now, the Big Ten is underrated when it comes to softball. Do you feel that way, or what are your thoughts on that?
I do feel that way. I think there are a lot of great programs across the conference. And I think last year, actually, it was one of our best years, top to bottom, you know, in terms of, like, if you were to ask our team, like, every game was a battle. Every game was a grind. And, you know, the conference has had some big, significant wins this last year. So far this season, last year as well. So I think it's about just continuing to put it together. And with the future of college athletics, I think the Big Ten Conference now is a premier conference. I mean, it's going to be really cool to see our national presence, to see, you know, across the board, what our Big Ten season will look like next year. We're psyched for it.
Yeah. Well, and you said it too, three more joining, including the women head coaches, but UCLA, Washington, and Oregon. UCLA has a lot of history too, and I feel like so does the Big Ten. So bringing those two things together is exciting. I'm very interested to watch, you know, how it all goes down next year.
Yeah, and we're excited about it too. I think in terms of our program, like, we play UCLA almost every year. We play Washington almost every year. So it's, I'm excited for our program because we're really familiar with their style of play, you know, because I think that's an adjustment too. But I think they're awesome programs, really incredible leadership in the game joining our sport. You look at what Heather Tarr is doing with the Olympic team. It's, you look at, you know, Kelly and Missy's experience. It's just, it's really cool stuff. So I'm excited for them to be in the room with us.
In terms of exposure for the conference, you just said it. Really a premier conference. What do you think that is going to evolve into, or what do you hope that it evolves into as the years go by?
Well, I think what's been a springboard for our sport is really how much people love watching us on television, and then the number of sold out events we have. You know, we had a bunch last year, and across the board, people are just coming out to watch the game. You see that across all women's sports, especially now in women's basketball in the Big Ten and you know, what we've seen with that. But I think we continue to be a sport that's really highlighted by television. So I think our goal as a conference is to continue to grow that exposure, continue to grow the quality of that exposure, and then, you know, continue with our postseason being the great event that it is. I think it's made for television. I think our fans tune in and they stay with us for almost a month.
Yeah.
You know, like you with your background with Stanford, you know, it was really fun to see their run last year. So I think that event really pulls people in.
100%. Absolutely. As it should. But you're right, the Caitlin Clark effect, you know, in the Big Ten, and it's not our sport, right? But it's still women in sports. How do you think that kind of lifts everything else up as well, if women's sports are working together in that way?
Well, I think we saw it with volleyball,
you
know, in our conference. You know, what's really fun on our campus is our field hockey program is incredible, playing in the national championship the last 3 years. And now you've got our women's basketball program, our lacrosse program on campus as well, winning the national championship last year. So it's like when our women are on campus with competitors like that, and you look at our golf program, you know, so many different programs that have had success, that's just contagious. And you start, you train together, you start to really have this mindset. You know, we'll have a lacrosse game on our campus tomorrow, and I'm sure that it's going to be sold out. You know, so it's like that kind of vibe in the community really adds a lot too. So it's good stuff. But I think people are finally starting to catch up. You know, I think it's been a great product all along, but I think that the television market is starting to catch up, and people are starting to really understand what it's all about.
It feels like the Big Ten is really a part of that, or like the big stuff that's going on right now. I mentioned Caitlin Clark, but even like Nebraska volleyball selling out a football stadium for one of their matches. Like, I don't know if that long ago that seemed that feasible, you know, and then everything you just mentioned in terms of what Northwestern Athletics is doing. It's sometimes I have to take a step back and realize how much it's grown.
Yeah. And it's been awesome. You know, you have women like Sharon Drysdale who were pioneers, you know, who did a lot of the hard work to even pave the way. But I think the last few years, the explosion that we've seen in terms of our coverage, the attention, the spectators, I think that's what's really going to get us on par here.
Yeah. Well, it's been really fun watching the Big Ten Network too. Even like Samantha Netling was on the show too at one point, and just chatting with her about, we can obviously relate on, we're still covering the sport. This is how we've chosen to kind of stay in the sport, right? Like you have a Jordan who's coaching and still playing, and then there's us who have kind of taken this path, but that's thanks to, you know, the foundations that have been laid down.
Yeah. And they're continuing to tell not only their story, but the story of the women who are in the conference now. I love talking the game with Sammy. Yeah. I think she's awesome. Just, I love listening to her. Even at like the events when we get to spend some time together, you know, it's just, I love talking the game with her. She's so smart. Sid Suplee, who's doing some great work too, you know, and so it's fun to see them stay in the game and be on the other side of it. I think they're doing great work.
Yeah. Well, and the more that actual women who played and experienced it talk about it, I think that's only going to be for the better for us too. Just like women like you coaching, right? When you actually went through this experience and have been there with the sport.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I also have to ask about the purple cow. just for those who don't really know about it, what's the background on this at Northwestern?
Okay. So I'll give you all the details. Okay. I'll give you kind of the longer version. So here's the deal. In 2006, right? So this was our fourth year at Northwestern. We had great pitching, great offense, really athletic defense. I'm like, hey, I think we've got a shot to be a really special team. And our team was like a little inconsistent. We would win a big game and then drop a game that we should have won, right? So I was like, okay, how can we really tell the story to our team that like, hey, we think you're a little different. We think, and the word we use all the time is remarkable. So I read this marketing book by Seth Godin, and the name of the book is Purple Cow. And the whole idea of the Purple Cow is like, how can you make a product or a service that's just a little bit different than everyone else? And so if you're driving from here to St. Louis, you're going to see a million cows and they're going to eventually just kind of blend into the landscape. Mm-hmm. But if you saw a purple cow, you'd stop and you'd be like, wait a minute, why is that cow purple? Does it make purple milk? Did someone graffiti it? Like, what's the story behind that cow? I need to learn more. And so that simply became like this symbol for us. Like, hey, let's commit to doing this whole college softball thing a little bit differently. Like we are going to have a really robust academic experience. We're going to create all the support we can, you know, the internships, the networking, your job placement now and in 10 years, like this is going to be really unique. How we develop you, how we train is going to be really like top level, really unique. Like we're going to be obsessed with that. And then the last piece is how we treat each other, like how we're really going to commit to treat each other and to be good to the game. Like, I feel like that's kind of the X factor with our team where we spend a lot of time talking about it. We spend a lot of time really just kind of understanding what that looks like and feels like every day. And that's what's going to help you win close ball games, elevate your game. And that's what you're going to remember 10, 15 years from now. So that whole idea, we kind of summed up like, this is our symbol of the purple cow. And the team in 06 loved it. They're like, this is amazing. And everything was a purple cow, right? We have a life-size purple cow in the lobby of this building right now. So, and then this group that just graduated last year, they like really brought it back. Like they're like, this resonates with us. And so it's been a steady thing for the last 23 years. And so, you know, now it's sewn in the bottom of our uniforms. Now it's everywhere you look. And it's just an internal language for us to really say, okay, is that average or is that remarkable? Because there's a big difference. You know, you can really get stuck in your time in college just kind of coasting through or getting through or getting to the next day. And we try to help them have a good narrow focus to be like, okay, you know, did we get everything you had in the tank today? Like, was that remarkable? And so it's fun. It's just kind of become kind of the way we talk about it.
How convenient that the cow was purple too.
Well, it's the only reason I picked up the book, right? I'm in a bookstore and I'm just like, what's this all about? And I read it. I'm like, this is brilliant. You know, and I actually was connected with Seth just a few months ago through someone at Northwestern. And I was able to tell him the story and really what an impact this book that he wrote 20 plus years ago has had on our program. So it's been a lot of fun.
Well, I expect to see Seth at some games then this year.
I mean, we'll see. We got to send him some gear. We'll try and get him in the fold for sure.
Yeah, get him on board. I mean, we've already locked her in because now this is going to be out there. Now we have to start locking him in.
Yep.
It reminds me actually of something that Jordan said too when we chatted, which I asked her, you know, what do you wish people knew more about Big Ten softball, Northwestern softball? And she said how hard that you all work, but she also said she wished people knew how gritty and passionate you all are and how much you love the game too. And I think that part is reflecting in what you're talking about with the purple cow. It's just like, you love it, right? Like they love it. And you said it resonated with them. And I can see that in this current group too.
Yeah. And that's, you know, Carol and I learned that from our father. He was an old school baseball guy, right? Grew up in New York City, like just loved old school traditional baseball. And so that's how we learned the game. And there's like the game has a mind of its own, a life of its own, and you've got to respect it. And you can't take any shortcuts because you will be exposed, you know. And if you're disrespectful to the game, you're going to get exposed. So that's what we talk about a lot with our team, and it makes the game a lot more fun. You know, you do that extra rep in the weight room, or you do a couple extra swings on the tee. You know, you'll get that call. So we can. You know, we can really earn those bounces to go our way, you know, and you get what you give. We say that all the time. So it's just about how can, you know, everybody works hard. Everybody practices every day. You know, everybody's really good. Everybody has a lot of talent, but what's going to be the separating factor?
Yeah. That's the thing about people say the difference between good and great. Is that how you would summarize it, or? How do you think of that?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And then once, I mean, our game is so fun right now because it's there's so many great players in the game and there's such a small margin of victory, you know? So it's like, how can you hunt for that every time you get together to train?
Right. How do you replicate that too in practice? Or is it something, you know what I mean? Cause there's like the mental training piece of it too.
Yeah, no doubt. And especially with our game, that's so full of failure. Yeah. You know, it can get you, you know, it can grab you by the ankles for sure. You know, and different players are going to battle that. And that's what streaks are. That's what slumps are, you know, and it's all about keeping it in perspective and really trusting your routine, trusting your preparation, trusting the person standing next to you and being able to weather the storm. You know, it's like we have so many high achievers here on campus, but our game isn't perfect, you know, so you can't be a perfectionist when you play it, you know? And so we spent a lot of time talking about that to just kind of say, okay, go win the next pitch. You know, what can you do? That's going to help you put you in a position to win the next pitch physically, mentally, emotionally. But it's tough, you know, it's definitely a learning process.
Mm, you're preaching to the choir on that one for sure. and some of these lessons, like you said, you know, taking it one thing at a time, play the game that's in front of you. I think of those concepts even now, if I'm calling a game on a broadcast, I think of it in that way. Or, you know, if I've been through certain challenges, back in the day training, when I go through a challenge now, I'm like, okay, well, I did that so I can do this. Right. And those are the pieces that never go away.
Yeah. I that's my favorite thing about my job. When I get that call 5 or 10 years after they graduate, and they're like, oh, I just did this really hard thing. And I just want to say thank you because I felt like I was prepared for it because of what I experienced in the program, you know, and it's, those are the moments where you're like, okay, we're doing all right.
Yeah. Well, that makes me understand too, why you feel like you said earlier, you feel like Northwestern and Big Ten softball, but Northwestern is in a healthy place because you have those types of things coming out of it.
No doubt.
Well, gosh, I feel like I say this to every guest because it's true. And every time it feels more true, but like I would keep talking to you all day, but I know you have practice, like you said, and you're excited to go to practice today. So I will wrap up with a game that I play with everyone who comes on the show. It's called Safer Out. You're basically the umpire. I'll bring up a topic. And if you like it or agree with it, you call it safe. If you don't, then you call it out.
Okay.
Okay.
Fun.
First one is, we touched on this a little earlier, so I'm very curious to your answer. Twins wearing matching outfits. Safer out.
Safe under the age of 10.
Okay. I like that.
Or unless you're coaching together.
Yeah. Well, that's my question too, is because you're coaching together and you said it with ESPN, like they were like, can you please differentiate a little bit? There are uniforms. You're on a team. You know, does that translate to the coaching staff? It's like, do you love matching? Do you hate it from your experience growing up? I feel like it could go in different directions.
Same outfit, different colors is always fun. That was always a twist. But I'll share with you one quick funny story. So Carol and I, we lived in the city separately and we would drive into work separately. So it's about a 25-minute drive from the city up to Evanston. And on game day, we happened to stop at the same Starbucks at the same time, you know, but we could not drive together. We knew that was a boundary. We could not, like, that was too much time.
Yeah.
And so we stopped at the Starbucks. We walk in. We're in the same purple pants, you know, and the barista is just like, hey, nice outfit. And we're like, we're such dorky twins right now, you know, completely out of context.
Yeah.
So yeah, same outfit. Yes. Different colors. Great. And then I feel like once you hit 10 years old, you start dressing yourself, then it's time to let it go.
That's very fair. I feel like that's completely fair. Cause like I said, it could go either way, right? You could either be like super into the unity thing because you're a twin, or you could be like, I am so over this and I want to be a little bit more individual. It totally depends.
Yeah, for sure.
That's hysterical. Okay. That was the first one. Second one is also touched on this a little bit, but conference realignment, safe or out?
Safe.
And we said it too. It'll be from 14 to 17 women head coaches in the Big Ten next year for softball. So that's awesome.
And I think kind of the sense of that is like, you know, I think there's an old school kind of, you know, your conference is in your region, or there's a lot of tradition attached to it, a lot of comments, you know. So I think there's definitely a loss of that feeling.
Yeah.
But I think college athletics is changing, and hey, let's change with it, you know, and what's the next best decision we can make, and how can we leverage our resources and really, really build our program into, you know, a really special place. So
yeah,
safe.
Adjustments, another life lesson from softball.
Yeah.
Okay. Last one is bat flips, safe or out?
Safe.
Really? Okay. Tell me more.
Surprising, right?
Yeah.
This has taken me a little bit to get to, right? So at first I was really against it, but it's as long as you know it's out, like a bat flip on a deep fly ball, you'll never hear the end of it. You'll be hearing it for years, but I think it's fun. I think that any way we can add interest and joy and celebration to our game, I think it's awesome. You know, and the thing that I always say with our team, it's like, it's about celebrating with our team, not necessarily against the opponent. So as long as that energy is internal, I'm all for it.
Yeah. I was going to say, it doesn't matter how and when that you do that sort of thing too. Because if you're up, you know, 12-0 and you hit one and you're bat flipping, like, is that really necessary? Right. But if it's a huge moment, then.
Right. If it's a huge moment, like, we're not bat flipping in the first inning, right? We're not doing that. You know, it's just about kind of, you got to read the room and really understand the moment and continue to be respectful of the game. Mm-hmm. But again, I had a player, Skylar Schellmeyer, who, was just graduated. She's actually working at UIC. She's an academic advisor now. So it's really fun to see her stay in college athletics, but real fiery player. Right. And, she threw her helmet once in a celebration and I kind of got on her for it. And then by the time she graduated, I was like, I love that, you know, and we included that clip in our senior video. So it's like just in that 5-year period, I had kind of evolved quite a bit. So I think it's good for the game.
Well, you said the game changes, we change with it, right?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
For sure.
Well, thank you so much for this, Coach. This has been awesome. Everything I hoped it would be and knew it would be and more. And I'm excited to watch you all the rest of this season and as you continue your time at Northwestern.
Thank you, Jen. I appreciate it. And thanks for telling our story. Really appreciate it.
Kate's awesome for many reasons. You know, I really want to meet Carol now even more after talking with Kate, but you know, after we stopped recording too, we were chatting a little bit and, you know, she mentioned Tori Nyberg, who's Stanford's pitching coach, and she's also an alum, and she was on staff at Northwestern. And she was like, do you see her often? I was like, yeah, all the time. She's like, give her a big hug for me, which I did. I did as soon as I could afterwards, because it just felt right, especially on International Women's Day. And, you know, she told me afterwards too, like, look closely. If you look closely, if you go back and look behind Kate during the interview and you see a photo from the 2006 World Series, Tori's actually in that photo. So, you know, it's a small world even while it's growing. With that, let's transition to the foul tip of the week. This week's foul tip is about asking ourselves questions. This theme stuck out to me recently with some of our guests, you know, with Kate, when she said how their program thinks about being remarkable. Like they'll challenge themselves and ask in the moment, is that remarkable? And it reminded me too of the recent episode with Leah Amico when she was talking about the gold standard and even talking about it with her kids. You know, she'll talk to them about certain behaviors and they'll discuss like if it meets the gold standard or not. And without even realizing it, I found myself doing this a little more recently, asking myself like, hey, is what you're doing right now going to get you where you want to go? And, you know, we already know the answer in those moments. That's why we're asking ourselves the question. It's to remind us of that answer. Because when the answer is no, that's not up to the standard that I've set for myself, we know what we need to do to get better. And then when the answer is yes, like this is the standard I want to live by, we encourage ourselves to keep going in the right direction. Because let's face it, communication is not just with other people. It happens internally too. And the way we talk to ourselves is very important. It's almost like we're our own therapist. Like if you've ever been to therapy, you know, they'll ask you questions, they'll let you answer them, and they'll kind of guide you to figure things out yourself. So this is kind of our own version of that. And it's accountability without shaming ourselves too. It's just a yes or no question. You go from there. And I think that balance of giving ourselves grace, but also pushing ourselves is the key. So that's it. Ask yourself questions. That's the foul tip of the week. You've been listening to Believe in Softball, part of Believe Network and presented by Bet Online. The show is available anywhere you get your podcasts, wherever you listen, including Believe.com and YouTube too. Subscribe to the show, rate the show if you liked it, write a review, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Believe in Softball. Again, that's B-L-E-A-V. You can reach out to me personally on Twitter at JennaBecerra01 and Instagram at JennaBecerra as well. As always, thank you for tuning in and catch you soon.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.